That's good. Thank you. All right. All right. Hold on. All right, listen up. Wesley and Ryan are a little bashful. They're playing hard to get. Now, here's the deal. If any girl asks them for a date and they accept, my wife and I will take you all out to eat. Okay. 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 First time I read the Bible through, I think I was 28 or 29 years old, to my shame. But I remember when I got so excited reading through, I cried when Moses died. I got all the way through and said, boy, I got to read through here, and I want to find a man greatly used of God whose children were greatly used of God. And I searched, trying to find that. Unless there was a priest that would span two generations, I don't think you'll find him. David probably was as bad a father as there was in the Bible. And so I made a decision then. I said, God, if I have to choose between you using me and you using my children, I just decided, use my children. And so I got to looking through. I said, I want to be an overcomer. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. Before we read that, let's pray. Dear Jesus, you're there. You care, you can, and you do. And none of us is here by accident. You have guided and directed our lives to this place at this time. And you did it for a purpose. God, help us to find that purpose, fulfill the purpose, and make a mark in heaven that will be stand forever. Amen. And going reading to the Bible, I got to look at, I don't know how y'all are for life verses. Nobody, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and all that. Nobody picks whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know, and so in Revelation 21, verse 7, I found a verse. This is not my life verse, but it has that potential. It says, he that overcometh. I like that. That's better than stomped upon us, right? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Who's saying this? God. You know, he's loaded. He's worth more than a dozen chicken eggs. You know. Okay. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and he will be my God, and I will be his God. He will be my God, and I shall. And anyhow, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is God talking. That verse they just sang, the God of the universe knows your name. I was walking in church the other day, and I met a girl, and I called her by name. And she looked at the girl next to her and said, he knows my name. I ain't nothing. He knows your name. I said, God, I want to be an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer for my children's sake. And so I decided I wanted to get on the path to Overcomersville. And so when we moved to Alcoa, we put our children in the best public school system in the state. And at that time, they had a bunch of teachers that had been teaching for a long time that loved the Lord. I could do my junior church sermons in their grade school classes. But they retired. And they were replaced by folks that, I guess for want of a better name, are hippies. They want to do with grades. They want to do away with all sorts of stuff. I said, there's no way in the world I can raise my kids like this. I want to be an overcomer for their sake. And you won't believe what I did. I moved my family to Hammond, Indiana. At the time I did that, My wife and I had a home set in the middle of 32 wooded acres outside of Knoxville with a house we built in the middle of it. I got to drive to work alongside the Tennessee River every morning. I was a tenured full professor of mechanical engineering, and I said, that's not the way to be an overcomer. I resigned my job, and we moved up here. Now, girls, listen to this. When I resigned my job and moved, my wife moved with me. We took a 60% pay cut. She never mentioned it. We moved north. In the South, people think north is where you go if you're bad when you die. And she moved to Hammond, Indiana, and we'd been to Hammond, Indiana. Hammond, Indiana was like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. It felt good when you quit. But it was, I wanted to be an overcomer. And by the way, you girls, you better let your husband go where he wants to, where God leads him. Okay? And so I said, this is it. But something happened. In August of 1992, my son Kevin, who was a division leader on a bus route, had given his life to that for years, had driven on Saturday to see his fiance and her pastor to make wedding plans. They were to be married the following weekend. He was coming back. He was really tired. It was the week after pastor school. He'd been on the bus route a good bit of the day. And he got tired, and he pulled his car off to the side of the road and fell asleep. A drunk driver hit him, broke his neck. I'm driving over to Fort Wayne, and I'm thinking, do I curse God for letting this happen, or do I pray like crazy? I prayed like crazy. It's amazing. I said, God, I wanted to be an overcomer, and now I got a son with a broken neck. It turned out, sometimes, if you see him, if you look here and here, you'll see two little scars. He had a halo around his head with braces on his shoulder. I say those things, and I say, praise God. All sorts of things happen. But I said, God, I must have got off the road to Overcomerville. Where did I mess up? On January the 8th, 1994, the only granddaughter I had, named Sarah, an amazing little girl, she was 8 months old to the day, and she died of crib death. During those 8 months, I'm not sure I ever heard her cry. My daughter said, I call her Sarah in the morning because when she wakes up, she sings. And she's dead of crib death. I said, God, where did I mess up? I didn't know what to do. She's buried in our cemetery. I remember I went out and laid on her, I lay on her grave every Saturday morning to this day, but I laid on her grave and I said, devil, you ain't going to win. We were running two buses on my route at the time, and I said, we're going to start a third one. Well, my son-in-law, Sarah's mom and dad, got to working with me for 21 years. They rode that bus route. His younger brother still does. That's Simon. It's amazing. And I thought, boy, this is it. But a little over 2 years later, Scott, Sarah's brother, died of crib death. What do? You start another bus. It's amazing. And I'm thinking, God, I've got it. All I've gotten through this are tears, death, sorrow, and crying. Where did I miss the path? I wanted to be an overcomer. Well, God showed me one Saturday morning laying on their graves what it's all about. I need you to help me count to seven. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now go, You can't get to seven without passing through 4, can you? Let's back up on the way to Revelation 21, verse 7, and read verse 4. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I was on the right path. By the way, that describes Jesus' path pretty good, doesn't it? The road to Overcomersville. Well, anyhow, this is kind of over some people's heads, I guess. And so I got to get the jelly on the bottom shelf. I want Brother Collins to understand this. So I'm going to tell you the story of one of my favorite overcomers. Her name was Ellie. What was her name? Ellie. Ellie lived in an unusual home situation. She lived with her stepmother and stepsisters. There wasn't a father in the picture. And the stepmother and stepsisters were mean. What were they? Mean. They were also fat and lazy. And poor old Ellie had to do all the work. That's not fair. She could have quit, but she's going to be an overcomer. One hot summer day, they didn't have any place to plug the vacuum cleaner in, so she's having to sweep the hearth with a broom. And she was perspiring. That means sweating like all get out. And you know how girls are when they begin to sweat. Panic. And some of those ashes got in her face. And her stepsister looked at her and said, "You look like a Cinderella." And from then on, they called her names. But she's not going to quit. She's going to be an overcomer. There was some pain. There was some sorrow. Well, anyhow, we got to thicken the plot. In this kingdom lived a king. The king had a son. The son needed a bride. Do you know a king anywhere whose son needs a bride? And so he said, "I've got to do something." And he decided to throw a party. Well, you can't throw a party. They don't have handles, and where would you throw it if you had? But anyhow, he said, "We're going to have a ball." So he bought time on TV. Oh, no, he didn't. He put handbills on telephone poles. No telephone poles. Can you imagine no telephone poles? No garage sales? And so he didn't know what else to do. So he got criers to go out to announce the party. What kind of a crier would you have been? "I don't want to offend you, but the king is having a party if you'd like to come." Or would you have been excited? Hear ye, the king is having a party! Yeah, well, I just wonder what kind of crier you'd be. But you won't believe it. When that news got out, Cinderella's stepsisters thought they had heard opportunity knocking. They were going to go to this party, and they were going to win the heart of the son of the king. But they had to have dresses. Well, there weren't any dress shops, so on top of everything she had to do, poor Cinderella had to make the dresses. This was a needle, thread, and thimble operation, and this was no easy task. For you see, these in the Greek, stepsister here is translated as big heifer. And she'd lay awake at night, her eyes aching, tears streaming down her cheeks, making those dresses, and thinking, "Perhaps if I do a good job, perhaps if there's material left over, perhaps I can make a dress so that I too can go to the party to meet the son of the king." Boys and girls and Brother Collins, she did a good job. She got through early and there's material left over. And she went to her stepmother and said the magic word, "Please." Everybody knows that works. "Please, may I." Oh, that's powerful. "Make myself a dress so that I too can go to the party." "What? You're a dirty little girl. You'll have to stay at home. I'd be embarrassed for you to be in public." Broke her heart. She could have quit. But you see, Cinderella's going to be an overcomer. But you what? You won't believe this. This was a wise king. The word criers is an old New Testament word for bus worker. He sent bus workers out in the community, knocking on doors, and Cinderella was on her knees weeping one afternoon, probably a Saturday. And someone knocked on the door, and she opened the door. It was a bus worker. Now, I don't think any of y'all is this zealous. He was ready for a big day. He was wearing a fairy godmother outfit, little rental wand. And he said, "Would you like to go to the party to meet the son of the king?" "Oh, yes." And she said, "But these clothes aren't appropriated." Appropriate. He was a ready bus worker. He had a big bag. He'd been by Goodwill. He said, "Here, take this gown. Try it on." She came back with the gown on, and she was beautiful. What was she? But she looked down at her tattered slippers and said, "Well, what about these?" He said, "No problem. This is going to be a problem." If you read this story carefully, Cinderella suffered from petite feet. He didn't know what to do until finally, in the bottom of the bag, He saw them, a tiny pair of jellies. Amen. Put them on, perfect fit. Anyhow, the day of the party comes, and stepmother and stepsisters go off in a rental carriage with overload shocks. But he comes by, and you won't believe this. He had decorated his bus to look like a giant pumpkin. They got to the party, and the son of the king, it was simply Boorsville. He looked the crop over, wasn't excited. Cinderella's stepsisters are over here wondering if they've been noticed. How could they not be noticed? They occupied a significant portion of his field of vision. And Cinderella walked in, and she was announced. And the son of the king looked at her, and his heart went, ka-thump, ka-thump. How did it go? Ka-thump, ka-thump. And the female of the species, by the way, I know what females are. In the female of the species, it's a little bit different. It went, piddly-pat, piddly-pat. How did it go? Piddly, piddly-pat. Well, he rushed to her side, and she met the son of the king. They were having a great time together. They got to know each other. They fell in love. He said, wilt thou? She wilted. You say, this is it, happy ending time. No, it's not. The son of the king said, I've got to go and prepare a honeymoon home for you. In the meantime, Cinderella, you've got to stay here and, oh, this is a dirty four-letter word, work. But they kind of forgot about it, but the bus captain was looking at his watch. It's a rental bus, and there's a surcharge if he doesn't get it back by midnight. He goes over and genteelly as possible, takes her by the elbow and the wrist, and hurries her out, and in the process, she loses a slipper. But he gets her home, walks her to the door, and said, you know, we might need that dress another time. Would you mind going back and changing? Oh, but she did. She came back, and she handed him the one slipper. He said, I can't do much with one slipper. You might as well keep it. Piddly-pat, piddly-pat. She went to her room and wrapped it in a scarf and put it in her dresser drawer. Why a slipper? Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Boy, the stepmother and stepsisters came home, and they were mad. They stomped into the house, slammed the door about 6 on the Richter scale. And by the way, she'd met the son of the king and given her heart to him. They had wedding plans in the future. You'd think it's going to be happy. Oh, no. It was worse than ever because Cinderella reminded them as a girl that stole their chances with the son of the king. They were meaner than ever to her. But she's not going to quit. Because you see, she's going to become an overcomer. Finally, the home is built, and he's coming for his bride. How's he coming? Read about it. With white horses and horns blown. Da, 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 da. And he's, boy, everybody's seeing it. If you're embarrassed about Jesus now, you're going to really turn red that day. Yeah. He's going from house to house. Kids are yelling, dogs are barking. He's looking for his bride. How's he going to find her? If the slipper fits. He's getting close to Cinderella's house. Her stepsisters are soaking their feet in ice water, but it's not going to do any good. First stepsister says, puts it on 3 toes and out. Ooh. Second stepsister didn't do that good. She slammed it and broke it. What now? But Cinderella's coming down the stairs. She says, I've kept the slipper, and it fits. He puts her on her horse, and a white horse, and they go off. Where are they going? To his kingdom. What for? A wedding ceremony. How's their life going to be? Happily. How long? Ever after. Amen? And as she's walking, riding off, she looks back and sees her stepsisters, and a tear escapes her eye. And the son of the king reaches over and says, now, Cinderella, there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears. Now, Cinderella. People, we haven't got to the now yet, but it's coming. Maybe, just maybe, the now. How do you keep going? I lay on those graves every Saturday morning, and sometimes I cry, and I talk to the devil out loud. If he ever answers me, I'm out of there. I tell him I hate him. I say, Lord, help me to so live today. I got 3 grandkids in heaven, that my grandkids in heaven will jump up and down on golden curbstones and point at me and say, that's my grandpa. That's my goal. You say, well, how's it working? Well, all my kids grew up on the bus route. All my grandkids are growing up on the bus route. 9 of my grandkids have graduated from Hiles Anderson College. I get to listen to two sons preach. I go soul winning on my bus route every Saturday with one of my grandkids. His name is Pete Cowling. How do you beat that? How? Well, what you do is there's a posture that you practice that'll get you there. It starts on your knees. And thanking God for the opportunities you have to serve him. Look at your Bible. How do you keep going? Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 29. Luke chapter 18, verse 29. It probably took me 30 years before I realized this. And he said unto them, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath given up, that hath left house, or parents, or brothers, or sisters, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Who did I get to hear listen to sing before this? I don't know, maybe there's somebody that's been more blessed than me with their family. And I hope there is, because I don't want to hog all the glory. But all my grandkids will go to church on a bus this Sunday. Got two sons that are preaching. I got two and three grandsons that helped me in junior church. I left houses and land and stuff. I did what I was supposed to, and God did what he's supposed to. What are you here? Maybe you're here, and you think God might be calling you to the mission field, but that's a long way off. No man that has left houses and lands and family for my sake. If God's called you and you don't go, you just cut off the faucet of blessings. What are we going to do? You just praise God and keep going and waiting for the now. Let's pray. Stand if you would. Dear God, your will for our life is so plain and so simple, you can put it in a children's story. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be what we need to be. Go where you lead and become overcomers. Help us to beat the sorrow, the pain, the heartaches, and the death, and thank you for the reward that's going to come. Please, God, please use us.